You're listening to Spellbound. Welcome to episode 15 of Spellbound. I'm Julian Smith. Spellbound is now a CastBox original. You can still listen to it everywhere else you typically listen to this podcast, but give CastBox a shot and see what's making it the top-rated and fastest-growing podcast app on both iOS and Android. I'm joined again by Dr. Ray Doctor. Dr. Ray, thanks for being with us today, Dr. Ray.
Thank you so much.
I thought it'd be good to have you back because we covered so much ground last week and there were just so many comments, but I just thought it would be smart to kind of discuss kind of, I guess, like a part two, specifically from the female side.
I guess many of your shows have that polarization. That's kind of part of you bringing new thought and perspectives for that to happen to see where it kind of goes.
Yeah, I think part of it is there's some polarization due to the nature of these conversations and what people typically expect from me. I think some of the people who are listening to my new content maybe don't know who I am anymore or something like that.
It's so funny. Like I read your comments. I'm like, well, going, wow, this is pretty brutal. You know, almost like to one, it's almost, they might also say, hey, don't quit your day job. You know what I mean?
Well, that's too late. I've already quit. I think people underestimate how much I'm enjoying this. I'm not doing this podcast because it's popular. It's clearly not popular. I mean, I've lost a lot of views naturally because podcasts are like way longer than comedic shorts. You know, we're talking about, I used to release 2-minute goofy videos about nothing. And now I'm releasing like hour long episodes. Of course, my views are going to drop. It's just totally different than the stuff I've released in the past. And a lot of people probably aren't going to want to stay subscribed to that. But the cool thing is that my subscriber count hasn't changed. It's been zigzagging steadily and quite predictably since the beginning of the year when I started this podcast, which means that old people are going out and new people are coming in. So I'm sticking with it.
I commend you. And the thing is that, and since we're going to talk about something, but I think this is really important to illuminate, and that is this, and that every one of us has a song that we need to sing, whatever that is. It's a creation. It's something that's in you that you want to do, and you want to do this before you die. And that changes as you grow and evolve. And the old dinosaur, the old way of being and thinking and so forth, is like thinking that you have to have it all figured out and that this is what you're going to do maybe for the rest of your life, or this is what you should do because it's making money, or there's some type of, I guess, outcome in which others see value in that, and therefore they think that's what's best for you. And here's a situation where you have talent, you have that aspect of yourself, but you are multidimensional and you want to expand as a man and you want to offer information that is helpful. And it kind of just shows, there's so many people who want to be something more that, and they go against what people worry about. What I want you to, as listeners, as you hear this, is that there's something you want and you're going to get the same feedback that Julian's getting. And you always will. It doesn't matter if it's helpful, you know? And so you just, no matter what, you're going to have people disagree with you because you don't fit their model of what they coin as success. So I think it's amazing that you do this. I think that this demonstrates something that people can really learn, just you yourself, being very vulnerable and open, transparent, and saying, you know what? I'm not doing this because I want to be popular, or I know that it's going to push, you know, the envelopes from people, but I'm doing it because I want to do it. And everyone on this planet should be able to do that. And that doesn't mean to go kill your neighbor, but I'm saying that while there's this polarizing comments also, there's also ones that are saying, this is amazing. This is what I wanted to hear. This is great stuff. And that's just how it is. You're going to always have people who like you and people probably hate you.
Yeah, you know, it's life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but this isn't really about me. I think we should probably dive into the reason people are actually listening to this episode, which is this conversation that we started last week on the decline of masculinity over the last 100 years and what that looks like in terms of balance. You know, we all have masculine and feminine energy flowing through our bodies. And, you know, everything's really out of balance right now because the media is keeping us at odds with each other. And, you know, it's just, and also because there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of rebalancing, recalibration happening socially as a lot of misogynistic stuff that's been tolerated for a long time is now not being tolerated. And it's amazing to see that happening because it's something that's needed to happen for a long time. But, you know, the growing pains, I think, are natural. that we're feeling. And so I thought it would be smart to have you back.
Yeah.
I want to start with you talking about, there were some comments that some people in the comments felt like they accused you of, being old fashioned or being misogynist and, being like thinking men are superior to women. And I think these people are missing what you were saying. And so I want to start this conversation just by giving you the floor to kind of say what you meant. Just clarify it for the people who seem to not get it.
So first off is that I don't know what people's definitions of misogyny is. So for example, if in the last episode I mentioned about wanting to open up a woman's door so she felt safe, someone might perceive that as me being sweet. Another person might see that me being a misogynist and that she can't take care of herself. That's not the point. The point is that it was about me basically trying to provide, be a container, be giving, and her inability to receive or whatever that was. It wasn't wrong, wasn't judging. But the reality is that if someone can receive, doesn't it feel good? When you give a gift to a child and he or she smiles, you like it to be received. So both masculine and feminine energy, when we come together, the way that it polarizes each other, it's that give and receiving, and that's it. And so when both people are trying to be the givers, who's doing the receiving? Where's the exchange? When both people are trying to say, I think this, where is the feelings in that? You need to think, feel. Person might share how they feel, and the person will share how they think about it, or they go back and forth. But it's just exchange of energy. And so just for that little topic about misogyny, it's when I think of misogyny or whatever, I think of it of that mindset, if that men think they're superior to that women don't maybe have a say, that it's supposed to be, it's a certain way, that's just the way that it goes. It might be putting down women. I see it out there. There is a woman who she is sharing my post. Nanine, she was basically, it's on YouTube and other places where Tony Robbins had pushed her back to use a demonstration. And he caught a lot of heat for that. And a lot of fans, basically just are really upset with him. Even after his apology, it wasn't really enough. But the point of that is that I saw her post today on Facebook and she's trying to share helpful information. And some guy said, he used the C word that women really hate and basically ripped her apart.
I don't think anybody really likes the C word.
I don't know.
Nobody really likes the C word. Some people use it for shock value.
Yeah, no, but if you go to England, it's not really a big deal, at least. But maybe I'm a dinosaur there too.
The Brits
like it. Well, I've heard it there where it not being so obscene as it might be here in the States.
I digress.
Yeah. So anyway, that his comments were very much very derogatory about it and just the language he used. Even I have a Facebook ad running that is to help men. And it talked about, some older man said, women are bitches and they are liars, cheaters. And he just sounded like a beaten down dog. And I end up just deleting a comment and banned him because no matter what perspective I try to offer him, he just was in that misogynistic perspective. And that is not the angle and perspective which I come from at all. And so not sure where that even came from. So I'm not sure what to defend because it was very clear, especially at the end. But the one thing I'd like to share here just because I feel it's important is that I want to talk about the word consciousness. Consciousness.
Another C word people hate.
Yeah, exactly. So that the way that you hear this information, the way that you hear it is going through what definitions that you've made about it. And those, when I say definitions, that means the way that you've come to know yourself, the way that you hear my voice, the way you interpret information. This also comes through what you've come to learn in your culture. The information that you think you know about things comes from the friends you hang out with. So many people think that things are the way that they are based off of what they feel. And that what I'm trying to say here is that your consciousness is just a projection of what you feel and think about things. In other words, like if you lack sleep, if your nervous system is overstimulated, if you're stressed, you'll read a text message and go, why is this person being an a-hole? Take a nap or take a walk. You read it and go, oh, he's just asking me a question. Because you now are perceiving that information differently. It's your consciousness. And so what I'm trying to say here is that how you hear this is really based off your consciousness, how you interpret our information. And so if we are triggering you, if I'm triggering you, whatever, just know that that's not bad or good. What is that? And is that really truthful for you? And what do you want to do about that? Because the angle in the conversation, which I felt like shared with you, Julian, was to offer a new perspective so we can get along.
First of all, case in point, we were just talking about the C word. In America, it's a highly taboo word, but you just said that in Europe, that word is just all over the place, which I didn't know. But like, that's like a case in point right there. I think a lot of this stuff is, I think a lot of the things that people fight about are words, you know, words are, that's what this whole, that's how this podcast got its name. Words are spells that have power over us. And
yeah.
I think that the media uses that stuff. It uses language to keep us fighting each other, to keep us angry, to keep us polarized, because there's more economical energy in polarization. And, you know, there's a lot of people right now that cannot get on the same page with all of this misogynistic stuff. Like people don't agree on what misogyny is. Everybody has a different idea of what it is.
Yeah, I mentioned to you, first off, by the way, there might be someone who's English and say, dude, that's old school. It changed 30, 40 years ago. And I would say, okay, then I'm ignorant to that. And I'm okay with that. And I would actually accept that, because what I've come to believe and
think. But there's tons of examples of that, regardless.
Yeah. Like, so what I'm trying to say is that even my thoughts are not solidified. So I'm willing to expand and grow. But I mentioned to you, I used to lead workshops with women, just women. I was the only man in there, and there might have been up to 30, 40 women. These are not dumb women who were like following some cult and like looking up to me. These are highly intelligent women who all of them were educated, bachelor's, master's, whatever. And we were doing workshops about sexuality. The thing is that women would listen to me and it helped their marriage. And It was where they saw value in it. And just 3 months ago, I said something that talked about something like that. And a woman said, who the hell you think you are? You don't know what it's like to be a woman, and ripped me apart and called me a sexist. And I didn't take it personally, but I was just like going, wow, what is she feeling? What's happening to our times right now? Because I could have, that was that same, in fact, part of what I had composed was a piece of something I wrote 10 years ago, and it was well accepted. And it's still well accepted in my tribe. So everybody's just different. And if we could just kind of like just do what Julian said, just step back a little bit, just remember that a lot of this has to do with just words.
Words are words, you know, like yeah. if you take language out of it, if you take all of the stuff that people are talking about out of this, and you just imagine actions, if you were unable to say why you're holding the door open for somebody, male or female,
yes.
If you're unable to say why you are choosing to be invested in someone, male or female, if you're unable to defend your actions with language at all, then a lot of these things become non-issues.
Yes.
Of course, there are some men who have done awful things, especially in relation to the Me Too movement. Some of these women have just carried these horrible memories around without being able to tell anybody for just decades. It's so sad. And so I think it is so important that these women come out. And I think when these kinds of conversations come out, people just kind of unconsciously fall back into the patterns that they're used to in these conversations, you know, with just taking one side, where I think what you and I are trying to say is that people just need to learn to respect each other and love each other. And then none of these things are going to be problems, and we can all just get along great.
Yeah. My forte used to be specialized in treating trauma. And of course that meant sexual abuse. And so I I don't know many men who've actually have spoken to over 500 women who have been raped and go through the experiences, what they experienced by going to the police station, to being put down by their fathers, by not saying anything because it was a family member and that they didn't want to break the family apart. Women have held on to this for a very long time. I don't need to take up time about this, but I've heard that. I've helped many, many women through this. And so I clearly understand the Me Too movement. And it's not just about sexual abuse. It's about like how women in general have been treated and so forth as a sex object, have been, you know, put down verbally and in so many ways. And men have been able to get away with a lot of different things. And so when you get enough women together and they feel safer, it's going to come up. And you might, some men like are feeling uncomfortable with this, and there are, there's blood being, you know, thrown out there and so forth. And it might look really bad right now, but this is what I said in this one, live feed that Naneen is sharing. And it's this, it can happen for another 2 years, 3 years. People, women are finally feeling safer, but what we men, especially you as a man, if you're not a perpetrator and that you've been kind and gentle with women and stuff, is just hold that space for them. Because at the end of the day, what they want to do is feel safe and feel heard. And there'll be some balance in this. And that's it. It's not, it's like if you're dating a woman and you know she just wants you to hear her and feel her, look at the entire collective consciousness of women. You know, like think of like all the women in the United States or wherever else going through this entire experience, approach the entire whole as if you were connecting to a woman and feeling her heart. And you know, it's interesting. I'm saying this right now and I'm thinking there might be a woman listening to this and going, you know, what are you saying? We're weak now or that we cry or like, again, I'm like now I'm like going, what can I say without someone taking a different approach to it? Like saying that now you're weak. It's not that at all. While there's a lot of women would go, wow, you speak the language of my heart. This is what I want. There's some women who I will say are more in protection mode, maybe more masculine mode, not judging you to where you're just, you're wanting to fight. You'll fight me when I'm here to support you. So it's not about even what we say. It's like kind of the internal dialogue within yourself and what that is and be able to take responsibility of that and what, make healthy, happy meaning out of that.
I don't hear you saying that women are weak or that women are not intelligent. I think we have, you have to remember that our civilization and our cultural norms all evolved out of our biological evolution. Things naturally took a shape when civilization began. Women were oppressed for a long, long time in ancient history, you know? And I think, I'm not saying that this is good. I think this is bad. I think this is not helpful. You know, like you just said, everybody wants to be heard and feel safe. And so we have to create space for everyone to have that. Things have been skewed in men's favor for far too long, and there's going to be a recalibration. It's already happening. And I think it is awesome. I am personally for this. I cannot say this enough. I don't want people to misunderstand what we're saying. But I think it runs the risk of going too far at a certain point because we all, like you just said, want equality and we all want to feel safe and to feel heard and to feel loved. I think and that's just part of our evolution. You know, we're pack animals. We're also reptilian in the base part of our mind and we're self-aware problem solvers too. You know, we're very complex animals and we have to remember our evolutionary makeup when we're talking about these things.
This in of itself, this dialogue with you and what we've done prior is a great example in and of itself about how we might be fighting about language and how we are trying to find a happy meeting to where we really understand each other and come from that space.
Well, here's the tip of the needle. There was a long time before we had technology, back when we were hunter-gatherers, before we even had agriculture or any of this stuff, we relied on our differences to survive. Men relied on women to bring their advantages to the table, and women relied on men to bring their advantages to the table. And we all kind of collectively got along and we harmonized our energy. And that's how things were for thousands and thousands of years. And it's only in modern times with technology and all of these conveniences that we have where a lot of these what have been norms for thousands of years are getting turned on their heads and people actually get to choose. They have a lot more variety in what they get to choose to do with their lives and with their energy. And this is great, but the growing pains from this are natural. They should not surprise us, I don't think. I think it what we're seeing does not surprise me anyways in the least from that perspective. And it's just discouraging to me when I see that it does surprise other people because it just shows me how far we have to go still with certain parts of the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's there. And even with the approach of love and, you know, and being open like this, how it is still there. You know what I mean?
And when I'm talking about men having certain advantages and women having certain advantages, biologically speaking, that's not to say that things are always going to be that way or that they're even that way now. I think that we're seeing a lot of our evolution changing. And that's kind of what we were talking about last week. That's what you were saying, that our biological makeup is changing. And I would say that that has to do with technology and culture and just time.
I have a short little thing I could read. It actually is like something I had written a long time ago. Like it's really short and actually talks about this. And I have a little thing out of the Bible that kind of basically brings light to this. So I wrote, it's written here. It says, in the prehistoric and early historic periods between 7,000 BC and AD 599, whatever, religions existed in which people revered great goddesses in nearly all areas of the world. Female deities were extolled as healers. Some were powerful, courageous warriors and leaders in battle. The Greek goddess Demeter and the Egyptian goddess Isis were both evoked as lawgivers and dispensers of wisdom and justice. As the role of the male in reproduction came to be understood and male kinship lines became important, religions headed by female deities were persecuted and suppressed by the new religions, which held male gods and masculine perspectives as supreme. Through the imposition and eventual acceptance of male-centered religions, women came to be regarded as inferior creatures divinely intended for production of children and for pleasure for men. In their new role as passive, obedient vessels, women were far removed from the status of the ancient goddesses. And there's a little quote in the Bible says this.
This is the Bible?
No, this is like what I wrote, like in something I wrote, I don't know. But this is the Bible. Let a woman learn in silence with all submissiveness. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over men. She is to keep silent.
Right.
Timothy. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And there's a lot of this in the Bible. Yeah. So you're saying, and this is no surprise. But the way you put it is a spot on. You know, there were tons of goddesses back in, you know, pagan polytheistic tradition. And it was only with the advent of monotheism that we began to diminish the feminine side of things and exalt the male, you know, masculine side of things. And I think that that is it. That's the tip of the needle right there.
And this is not saying all Christians are Catholics, and this is not a religious battle.
Not at all.
The misogynists or the men whom I see as having more issues with this somehow seem to be more Christian, which is that kind of Western mindset that stems from religion.
Yeah, and I think religious or not, whether you're Christian or Catholic or not, if you grew up in Western culture, there are remnants of this Judeo-Christian mindset in all of us, even down to like, you know, guilt and shame.
Absolutely. I mean, I've worked with over 6,000 clients. So I've worked with couples. I've seen how they polarize each other. And I see the power struggles. And it's about honoring a male and female brain. It's about honoring yin and yang. It's about honoring female and male. It's about honoring negative and positive, not in a negative sense, but like electricity. It's about seeing our difference and seeing how we need each other to survive and thrive. And that's all this is really about. And so, you know, all my work, everything I share, mostly is through experience. It's through seeing what lights up a woman and makes her feel good. It's about what seems to align a man to his purpose and for him to feel good about himself. It's about how do we work together where no one feels inferior and no one thinks they're superior. And that's it.
In these conversations, I feel like there's so many people who say, it's not right to do this or it's wrong to do this. And even this response to the conversation is rooted in Judeo-Christian mindset because, you know, before good and evil, this is kind of like diverging into territory of morality, and I'm not speaking on morality when I say this, but, you know, yin and yang is totally incompatible with the idea of good and evil and of like, you know, certain acts being good and certain acts being bad in and of themselves, as opposed to the way you make someone feel when you do something, you know? So this idea of yin and yang, I think, is even still kind of foreign to a lot of Westerners because of the Judeo-Christian presence in Western culture. I think it kind of like keeps people from thinking in terms of balance. It keeps people polarized.
Yeah, it's kind of like the heaven and hell, devil, God.
Yeah.
When it's not that. It's not opposite in a negative way.
And as long as we're on this seesaw, this political, you know, up and down, left and right, back and forth, we are going to continue to hate each other and argue about this.
Or not, which is, I mean, I have an agenda to shift that, but, you know, that's my goal. My goal is because I still believe, you know, it starts in the home and it starts with happy parents. And if a man can't love and appreciate and respect his woman, it's going to show up. And if she can't love, respect, and love her husband, it's going to show up. And the children are going to feel that. And that's a lot of what we're experiencing, you know, just one part of it. Not saying that's the whole and that's why there's the problems, but I think that we have to get to that space so we can see more thriving children. Like right now, there's so many shootings at these schools. It's out of control. And I do ask myself, if this man who committed this crime, this young man, or these people committing these crimes, I mean, the thing is that I know this, is that I know people are counting on me. And what I mean by that is that I show up and have a purpose. So for me to do a crime, for me to do something, like I feel the remorse, I feel the punishment before it happens. I feel it's basically love that pulls me away from doing anything negative. And I wonder if one of these perpetrators were to feel love, what choices would they make? Would they only make good choices? And so I know that I grew up in a home where my father, honestly, is kind of from that old generation. And so he does communicate to my mother in a way that I don't care for. But I also know that my mother's very progressive. And so she doesn't like allow him to walk all over her. And she would like, my dad is 93 or 92. And so, but I also know this, though, is that what's interesting about them is that he very much is able to play out those simple masculine roles, and she plays out, say, those feminine roles, those typical traditional. And in that, that there's not a power struggle. She does her thing. She hangs out with her friends. She does her things. And so does he. And they've been together for over 50 years. It's like they're okay with that. She's okay with receiving and being provided for. And he loves to be able to do that. And so it works for them.
Yeah, that's what makes them happy. And that's not to say that that's going to work today. It's not going to work for relationships today. We're going to have to reinvent it. But the past is the past. We can't change that. We can't change how people who were born in the past who are still living are going to continue to live, because habit is habit. But we can change how we treat other people. With, you know, I mean, you and I are going to be on this planet for a lot more time than your parents and my parents are going to be. So we have a lot more obligation to answer these hard questions than they do.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing, though, my parents, they loved me. I felt that love. I did feel love. And I felt there was, you know, mutual respect in many ways. And because of that, remember, I internalized their experiences. I'm there. They become my filters, how I see the world. Remember earlier in this conversation, I talked about consciousness. They form how I perceive information. Therefore, I want to do great things. I feel love in my body. So I have the propensity to always want to do good things. And so if you grow up in a home where two people are arguing and there's that power struggle and no one wants to give and receive and feel love and whatever that is, then the children are going to feel that. And so it's the chaos in the lack of love is going to show up at home, and it's going to show up on our planet.
I'm really disappointed in the way that a lot of my male heroes have treated women in the past. And, you know, I went all these years without knowing this stuff. And now that all this is coming out, it's changed how I've felt about a lot of people. And it's really disappointing to me as somebody who thinks it's wrong to treat women in the way that a lot of these men have. I'm married and I have two kids, two daughters, and I've got another kid on the way. And, you know, I believe that your intent and the way you treat people and, how you make people feel with your energy is indicative of who you are. And, you know, it's been too easy for people to hide behind the opacity of their, you know, personalities and stuff like that for far too long. And now there's all this stuff coming out, and maybe it's because of the internet. Maybe it's because, who knows why in this day and age there's all this stuff coming out for the first time. But I think it's great because I think that these people need to have justice.
Yeah, it's safer for them to do that because there are people behind them and so forth. So, you know, as I mentioned, I worked with sexual abuse survivors, and that they have not been taken seriously. Nothing happened to the perpetrator and so forth. Or that this is the thing about it. When a woman is sexually abused, both men and women, but I'm going to describe women. And if you are a woman listening to us, I'm not saying I know how you feel and I know you better, but I'm sharing from my experiences working with women, is that when something happens like that, it could be the most violating experience. It's where something is in your body, you feel gross about yourself, it shapes your self-esteem. It's where, like, what men don't understand, or the, say, perpetrators or whatever. I mean, it's just what they don't understand is that it is not a one-time event. And when I say one-time event, like, just imagine the trauma itself. Like, it's the way that a woman will, both men and women, but I'm talking about women, will think about themselves, the self-esteem and everything. It affects their sexuality, it affects their work, it affects how they connect to their partner, it affects whether or not they trust people. If they're looking behind their back when they're going into a parking structure, it's so many things. Living in fear and not being taken seriously. And remember that, again, it kind of reminds me of my cousin who is an Orthodox Jew. She was beaten by her husband. And who did she go to talk to about it? The rabbi. And a rabbi basically was saying, well, you need to stand by your husband. I'm like, you've got to be joking. And I know that the background, she left my cousin who was an abuser. She was abused at home physically, you know, dominated. And then here she ends up becoming an Orthodox Jew and she's abused. And then she goes to the rabbi and she's someone telling her that you guys can work it out. And I'm like, you've got to be joking.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like I had a hard time communicating with her because I took it personally. I was like, you've got to get out of that.
Yeah.
And yet I'm glad
she did.
She didn't.
She didn't?
No.
She's still in it.
I don't know if I think that stopped, but no, she has like, I don't think she has like six to eight kids now.
Oh, wow. So the abuse stopped then?
I think it did, but the thing is that the whole system in which she lives in is male dominated.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a lot of systems. Yes, there's a lot of systems.
Any domination is not right.
Yeah. There's a lot of systems that are male dominated. So it's not like these women wouldn't be taken seriously. So right now, women have been able to break through that, call men out in their stuff, and here they are speaking up. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And you might say, why now? Well, don't ask that. They have been carrying this in their body for maybe 20, 30, 40 years. It's like, just let them do it. They're the ones who are victimized. I don't see why it should be a problem to anyone. And especially if someone feels bad for the perpetrator. No, he should be called out.
Yeah. And it's interesting. This is kind of getting into territory that we covered in an episode a few weeks ago with evolutionary biologist Brett Weinstein. He was talking about how our genes, first of all, that episode was talking about how racism is actually evolved and it's in our genes. And there's actually a gene that causes racism, and it exists in other mammals and other insects and things too, besides humans. But humans are the only ones that are self-aware enough to eradicate it. And that's why we have the responsibility to do that and to make sure that we do that once and for all, and that it doesn't continue to thrive in humans, because we're the most influential creatures socially speaking, and you know, we have, you know, the most creative power and stuff like that. So I think a lot of this applies to this conversation of sexism as well. Not that there's a sexist gene per se, but you know, our genes are our ancestry. You know, we are our parents and our grandparents and our brothers and sisters and our genes. And when we reproduce, our genes spend half the time in female bodies and half the time in male bodies. So there's this constant you know, we're all in this together. No, I don't think anybody in this day and age with what we know about evolution can honestly say that, can honestly feel good about themselves by trying to dominate any kind of people group or gender or anyone.
Yes. I wanted to, and I'm just, there's something you said about this. What did you say he was? What's his label?
He's an evolutionary biologist, Brett Weinstein.
Okay. I support epigenetics. I'm definitely a Bruce Lipton fan. Dr. Bruce Lipton is one of my mentors. And so from what I understand, and that basically only maybe 5% of our genes have their own expression. The others are turned on by how we, our environment and what we come to know about ourselves and being around our parents and everything else. And what he says is that basically that we have what we develop, as he calls it, maybe cognitive blueprints. And that is where that we learn through behavior by, see, in other words, for example, I'll give you an example. I have a son who'll be four. And my son, you know, he was, I don't know, he accidentally headbutted me, okay? Headbutted me. And I, in that moment, I swear to you, I almost want to headbutt him back. And I just like, immediately I went into a moment of like, almost like...
knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, like, it was like, what is this? In that moment, I saw my father and I also saw my lip go up. And when my father gets upset, his lip goes up a little bit, like when he gets angry. And so that's, you know, some people might say that's genetics, or could it be learned through, you know, mirror neurons? Could it be learned through just the interactions through that where my nervous system is being matched, is matching his? So that's why, like, I have a different thoughts about how we, our behaviors and thoughts come to be. And I believe it's through those interactions with our parents. I mean, there's so much proof that is out there now that kind of demonstrates this. So for example, even Bruce Lipton basically shows different, these mice, and he has like these mice where they have a larger hindbrain, like behind, and that is more for survival. And these are mice that are basically raised environments that are more like, say, on the streets or where they're in harsh conditions. And then they would raise mice that are in more loving conditions in the front part of the brain, say the cortex, or like even like look at the human being where the prefrontal cortex is, that's how we are different from, say, monkeys and apes and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, we're more intelligent, that this part of the brain is more developed. So these mice, literally through a thriving environment, also, their brain basically matched their experience during the prenatal period. So imagine a mother under
stress.
Well,
you know what this suggests? This suggests that women are more highly evolved than men.
Actually, there are things that women are able to do that are... Well, first off, before I say that, why are you saying that?
Well, I just think it's fascinating. And it doesn't, it doesn't threaten me. I think it's... makes sense on a lot of fronts. I mean, last week we were talking about how women's prefrontal cortexes are bigger than men's, and that's the highest stage of your brain. That's what processes your spatial awareness, self awareness, and your sense of strategy and problem solving. And so that's the highest stage of our brain. You know, you talk about the bottom part of the brain that these mice who live on the streets thrive in. That's the reptilian mind. You know, that's like the lowest stage of our brain. That's like basically the part of our brain that we got when we became land animals from fish and we started strategizing to survive. And then like if that part is bigger in one animal and then in another animal, their neocortex is bigger, that would indicate that creature is more highly evolved.
Yeah. Through the environment, that definitely can shape a child. Like you can shortchange a child by them being under stress during the prenatal period and also through this from, say, 0 to 5 years old when the brain is growing. But back to, here's another thought too. There are those who basically, anthropologists and other scientists out there who would say that there's a possibility that the reason why maybe a woman's brain in the front has expanded that way through evolution is that because they're smaller, that they had to basically use that part of their brain to survive. They had to negotiate. They had to move into empathy and compassion or whatever because a big, large caveman could just throw them off a cliff. And so who knows? You know what I mean? Like, did this?
What?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Yes. That sounds like... Well, I'm not opposed to that thought. That definitely sounds like something that would be very hard to prove.
Yeah, well, but I mean, like, but it's, well, it's like, you know, giraffes, you know, grow next to reach the leaves. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, you know, so many things, they kind of show the development, but they really don't know. Right. I don't know. But if you notice that, why is it that women are more, seem to be more empathetic, compassionate? Why is it that they seem to want peace for, you know, for the most part? Why is it they care about how other people feel? And it's all part of that front part of their brain that has somehow expanded much more than men. But then, you know, then how is it that men, their, our brain is geared more towards sexuality and aggression? And, you know, and is that also why it is that
true?
You see? Yes, it is.
Really?
I think it's 2/3 larger. Yes.
Wow. Well, see, that's the lower stage of the brain. That's the reptilian mind. That's dedicated for survival.
So, you know, the thing is, it's like, go back to like those times. It's like, but is that what we needed at the time to propagate the planet, where men had to be horny so they can plant their seed, you know? But like, we have enough children. We don't need it. You know, that's not how you court women. That's not what women are interested in. You know, like, a big part of this conversation is like saying also, like, why my parents' marriage might work still is because my mom, I wouldn't say she doesn't know better, but she came from that culture where women maybe are a little bit more submissive, or where that it's okay for men to be this way, whatever. But I'll tell you, if my father I told my father, I go, you would never talk to a woman the way you talk sometimes to mom. I go, they would be out of the relationship. And he just like looks at me like, what? And my dad is not a dick. He just, that's the culture he came from.
Yeah.
And so I think like what we're trying to do here in this conversation is say that these old ways of coming together don't work anymore. So what's next?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to court a woman unless she's in that survival mode with her money. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, there are gold diggers and there's women who are kind of maybe in that space, and that's maybe what they're more attracted to. But I think that what we're seeing here is that both men and women want to be able to be something else. Like in one of those comments, someone said that I'm about being a breadwinner, or like men should be breadwinners. No, it's about if that's what he chooses and his wife or woman is okay with that, whatever. It's about co-creating.
Yeah,
it's
my wife and I are kind of like that. You know, for a few years, I've been the sole provider as we've started a family, and she has, on her own, wanted to be there primarily for the kids, and there's only so much time in a day, so I have continued to make the money, although when we met, she was paying my rent because I was a broke-ass loser, she's incredibly smart and has many talents, and she's just actually launched a new skincare brand this year that is pretty exciting. So she's more than capable, but she still chooses, you know, some people still choose, people can do whatever they want, you know, but don't do whatever you want to other people is, I guess, kind of what we're getting at.
Yeah. It's interesting that I know you're joking with me, but the thing is that you'd rarely hear, okay, so this, is this going to be considered sexist or something misogynist? You know, like, am I talking like a dinosaur? But you just said, a broke ass loser, and yet I have never heard a woman say that about herself. And if a woman were not working, I don't typically hear her friends or men say, "Oh, you broke ass loser." But see, even you have this. You're being facetious, but still, there is this perspective I think men have of themselves, and how women might see a man not working, and that's how they'll call him on his stuff. So a big part of like the Me Too movement, what I hope for is that it looks at...
What are you getting at right there before we go on to the Me Too thing? I'm kind of confused by what you just said.
I'm saying that there are double standards in how women will look at men. Like, in other words, women might not want to be looked at as a sexual object, but a man might not want to be looked at as a broke-ass loser if he's kind of going through a transition with his job.
Right. Yeah. To be clear, Sarah, my wife, did not make me feel bad at all for being where I was. I was starting a new company and things ended up going very well after that. But it was a time where I literally could not afford to pay my rent, and I ended up moving out of my apartment into my girlfriend's apartment, who is now my wife. And, you know, the reality is that I met my wife in May of 2009. And we got married in May of 2010. I married her after a year of meeting her. And the reality is that we got to know each other so well because we both went through very vulnerable stages of life within that short year that we knew each other. And we both relied on each other for a lot. And so we got to know each other very quickly and we learned to trust each other very quickly and to be comfortable giving and receiving in every area possible. Even, you know, I mean, it's like, I would not have survived probably had it not been for her, and vice versa. You know, we've both given and received at different times and in different ways.
This is awesome. I'm glad you're sharing it. And I'm glad that you're able to share that. And what I was stating is that there is equality on both sides.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm with you.
And the thing is that, so if someone didn't know the backstory, some traditional man were to hear you be at work and you say, my wife is paying the bills, he might call you a loser or you'd feel like it. And others might agree with that. I'm just saying that there's all kinds of different double standards and conversations that have even started being talked about.
And that's okay. I think it's okay. Yeah. I think it's okay. Not that the double standards should be acceptable, but it's okay that that's how it is, because some of these standards were standards that worked culturally for a long time, but culture is changing for various reasons. Number one, America is becoming even more of a melting pot than ever, which is great. And so are numerous other countries. You know, technology's changed a lot. The internet and social media has like turned a lot of things on their head more than a lot of people realize. And especially a lot of these young commenters who don't realize the culture that a lot of their conveniences today have come out of. You know, they don't know their ancestry that well. They don't know why things were the way they were for so long. And so I think there's a lot of ignorance, I mean, to put it plainly, but we've all just got to learn to like just stop hating everything. I think some of these people, like, you know, when you like go on someone's like Yelp account or something, like, and you just see like all they do is leave negative reviews for restaurants. It's like, do they like anything? You know, it's kind of like, sometimes I feel that way about people, in real life commenting on important things. And it's hard, because this conversation is so difficult and there's so much progress that needs to be made, but there's all these people who don't know what they're talking about, who are just throwing fuel into the fire and trying to like polarize things even further. And it's just not helping.
Yes, it's okay. You know, I mentioned about how I used to work with women. Okay. Mm-hmm. And
you don't anymore.
And I still do, but I mean, like, I used to do the workshops and so forth.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I live in California. I live in Santa Monica. And yes, there's a lot of women who would call themselves goddesses. They kind of have the hippie look. And there's a lot of empowerment, like female empowerment coaches. And in that there are a lot of women who are coaches for women, and they are the CEO type of women who are kind of more in that we'd call the masculine role. They're working and they're trying to figure out why is it that I'm single, or how can I be softer? How can I be a better receiver? Because I'm told by my husband that I'm protecting myself, that I always want to argue or be right, or just... I'm not able to have an orgasm. I'm just not able, whatever. And they'll go to these female coaches and they'll say, you exude too much masculine energy. You're too much in this working mode and you need to know how to be able to take off the pants and literally and figuratively speaking and be able to dance. And in these workshops, they will teach women to be able to connect to their bodies, really be in their bodies rather than be in their heads and try to be in protection mode. And that's a belief that being in the masculine in a way is more being in your head, trying to control things. And being feminine is having a better connection to your body. And if you kind of look at it that way, look at how imbalanced both men and women are when we are too much in our heads or too much in our bodies. A person who's too much in his or her body might be always emotional and they're just not able to think themselves out of a problem. They're not able to make decisions. And, you know, and so it's like going back and forth. It's being able to create both thinking and feeling. And these female empowerment coaches that work with these women, they teach them to be able to receive life, this dance. And there's young listeners And I notice this more with younger females. They'll hear me like, what the hell are you talking about? Or I don't want to hear this BS or whatever.
You don't notice it as much as in older people?
No, I don't. And maybe it's like, because they've come from a generation where they experience some of that chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
See, even the word chivalry might be considered
it gives
like
me
misogyny.
The shivers. Chivalry gives me shivers.
It might be like thinking like I'm like this old school dinosaur that thinks, you know, like I know a woman could, I think women, honestly, listen to it here on this show. I think women could do just as much as men and maybe even better.
Yeah.
In fact, I think women could do a lot of things better than men.
I think so too.
This is not what this is about. It's about, in fact, it's honoring that. But it's,
and I even would even go as so far to say that I'm okay with things being skewed in women's favor for a while, because that would be a natural response to how it's been with men. I just think it's, I just hope that we can all avoid killing each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And to finish this story about that, the whole thing about the workshop is that these women end up learning how to receive, to be able to smile, to be happy, to be balanced with their femininity and still go to work and have a career and be able to make decisions and to be balanced. So in other words, these women are coming to these female, that's what I used to do. But honestly, being a man, I don't have a vagina. I don't understand women fully because I'm a man. But there were not many female empowerment coaches when I started doing this. And I'm happy that there are. And then there are also what I consider would be a male coach teaching men how to know what healthy masculinity is. And also the men who like are totally extreme masculine, you know, closed off, to teach them how to connect to their femininity so they can be not such a hard ass and rigid and so forth, and to balance them out and to be able to dance in a relationship very much in the way which you describe, Julian. And that was where, you know, our relationship is a lot about giving and receiving. And so while the conversation may start off as the Me Too, a big part of that is, okay, where do we take that? Where's the equality in that, and how will that work and be seen? And this is it. It's like, how can we end up working together with both of us being able to exercise both our masculinity and femininity? How can a woman show up to a business meeting and not have to be like one of the men and feel okay being one of the women and men and being taken seriously for that and being honored as that? How can a man show up to a business meeting and be more feminine a little bit and him be okay with that? And that's okay. It's about us being able to dance in that. We embody both.
Yeah, we've all got to have internal balance. We all have estrogen and testosterone flowing through our bodies, no matter what is in your pants. It doesn't matter. Your energy is a two-way street, and there's a lot of I think blocked energy happening socially right now.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about women becoming more masculine and men becoming more feminine? You know, this is kind of what we were talking about last week. It's in some ways, it seems like a natural biological response to culture and how things have changed and how technology has given us more options and how to live our lives and the freedoms that we all have now. And the fact that we can even have these discussions on how things should be divvied up in culture is amazing. And so in some ways, it seems like natural that you would see a fluctuation in testosterone in women and estrogen in men. So, I mean, what do you think about that as a psychologist? Do you think it's okay? Do you think it's good? Do you think we're going to continue to see more masculine women and more feminine men? Or do you think that we should all try to be finding some kind of internal balance between the two?
I think we should find internal balance, because the thing is that when you're moving into your masculine, because it's survival, because you had a deadbeat father and your mother couldn't provide and take care of herself. So therefore, you made a decision when you're 13 years old that you're going to go to college, get a job, and never, you know, have a man take care of you. And yet you kind of have this angry energy and you've never learned how to receive and be feminine and enjoy yourself as a woman. It's going to show up in your relationships and your life. It's being able to do both and have that balance. So here's the thing, is that many women still come to me still with that challenge, exactly that challenge. And when we eight, when we balance them out, whatever that looks like, they end up being happier and there's more sex in a relationship. They feel more attractive to be who they are. So that's where, like, it's okay to be that. But if it's like where, I'll give you an example, because I had a male client leave here right before this talk, and he was talking about Brazilian women. And he was talking about how the women there are attracted to American men. He says it's many reasons. It might be for the money also. But he said that still the American men, so a lot of them seem to be more masculine, like those typical masculine traits. I even wonder if people even know what that even means. I probably should read off a list that I have. But he was saying that a lot of the men there, at least that was his opinion, take care of themselves a lot better than a woman. Like I said, oh, like the Jersey Boys. He says they're kind of like really feminine. Therefore, they seem to be more attracted to the masculine men, and or the more American men, like the American men. And so what I'm trying to say, there's a natural electrical response in your body that happens that either repels you or attracts you. So women, listen to this. And if you could take a moment to do this while listening to this, just do it. Because I've done it in workshops, I've done it in other interviews, and the response I have typically is very one-sided. And of course, there's others who are okay with it. So imagine you're out on a speed date, meaning that speed date, you're in front of a guy, he's sharing 3 to 5 minutes of his life. You are to see.
I'm on a speed date, or a woman's on a speed date?
A woman's on a speed date.
Okay, because I was about, I'm not into guys, so you already lost me.
Okay, well, I'm gonna do something with you, but it might be a different response.
Okay.
And so she's on a speed date. The guy says this, I just been on this sabbatical in India. You know, I just been doing yoga. Just been trying to figure out my life. And not sure where I want to go, but, you know, it's been really a creative process. And, you know, I'm not sure where I'm going. And just been kind of working out and going with the flow of life. And so women, as you heard that, what happened in your body? How did you feel about that? And typically the response is, I want to throw up. I'm turned off. I'm not attracted. Because that man is
basically...
They're
not attracted sexually.
It's just, yeah, usually it's that he has no direction, and that means he lacks masculinity. It's where he just has no purpose, which is lack in masculinity. This could be, you can consider as traditional, whatever, archaic, whatever, I don't care. But most women, at least I encountered, are turned off by that.
And you live in Santa Monica's, anybody who knows Santa Monica knows that this is a very progressive city. It's like basically, it's a very wealthy place. People who live here are... This is not an archaic place, is what I'm getting at.
Yes, yes. And it's been on radio shows. It's been other things where it's like the same response, okay? And so I could do this in Louisiana and I'll get the same response, okay? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there'd be a listener like, oh, no, it's not that way, but okay.
And there's exceptions. So, I'm sure that there were women who would be totally fine with it. And also, not to derail you, but I've seen a lot of marriages... people who've been married for years, the nature of their marriage changing over the last couple of years as the women have become more of the breadwinners and the men have kind of carried more duties around the house with the kids and cleaning and stuff like that.
That's okay. Because I'm going to tell you, here's the thing. The only way I've ever seen that really work out with men and women is if that man is taking it as purpose. He is doing the job good and he's engaged with her. And he's able to hold space for her and love her. And she feels seen and appreciated by him. And they both have that mutual exchange of energy that his job, his duty is not looked down upon.
Right.
And he doesn't see himself as being inferior. That's the only way I've ever seen it work.
I think the key that you just said there is that nobody is looked down upon. And I think that that's what we're getting at with every... I think that's like the overarching mantra of this whole... topic is that no one should be looked down upon, not women, not men, not black people, not Asian people, not anybody, no person, no animal, no creature, nothing, not even a tree should be looked down upon. Everything on earth is fulfilling its purpose. And we've all got to hold space for each other. Like you say, I love that term, hold space. We've all got to hold space for each other and respect each other and be okay with our differences, because as technology and culture becomes more convenient, We are all going, our daily personal lives are all going to start looking very, very similar to each other's. And so the natural response to that is that any differences that we have with each other become insecurities for us. We become uncomfortable with our differences the more and more our lives look the same. And so I think that we've got to be okay with the differences that we have and learn how to harmonize our energy.
Yeah. Yes. And exercise for you. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So imagine you're single again, you're in a speed dating and I'm a woman. And I know what, guys.
You sound like an obnoxious woman.
Yeah. So, I'm saying, you know what? I've got three masters. I do this, I do that. And this is what I think about this. And, you know, and as far as I think this is what you should do with your life, you know, is this what you do on your show? You know, here are some ways that you can run your business a little bit better. Because I did it with my business and this is how I worked it out, you know, and here's my card and it'd be great to connect with you. So
regardless of gender, that just seems like an obnoxious person, first of all. but I'm not attracted to that kind of person. I mean, because my natural demeanor is very driven and opinionated and I have like my own ideas about how I should be running my business. So anytime anybody just offers unsolicited advice, I'm not rude. I'll sit there and listen, but I'm not like really going to, I'm not going to take everything that they're saying as canon or something.
Okay. So here's the deal is yesterday, 2 days ago, I received an email from a woman who is trying to control her husband who, it's like left and right. I rarely receive emails. And because the coaching that we're doing is not yielding to your direction, she like literally needs to see somebody, but she actually sent me an email and tell me how I should do my work with him. Like I was blown away by that. And
she's trying
told
to tell you how to be his psychologist,
be his coach, how to be his coach, how to, because he is now basically stepping up to her and it's getting worse. And what it is, he's been a walked all over man. He's allowed it. And basically he's owning his balls. And he's saying that I don't feel this way. This is how, he's not trying to fight, but it's now she's butting heads because she wants it her way. And so she sent me an email to tell me how it should be. The point is that he's not attracted to her at all. He hasn't been in a very long time. Mm. And the point of me sharing it, if I were a woman and I were talking that way, I kind of did it very quickly, is that most men would say what you said. They wouldn't say it you just don't like people like that in general. But I'm saying that most men would feel like, this doesn't show me how she feels. It's like, I don't really know about her. She's more telling me about her skills versus who she is as a person. She's not sharing like how we can like co-create together. I don't know if she's affectionate, if she's sensitive, and like I'm not attracted to that. Like I somehow it didn't attract me to her.
You're saying that men who the definition of masculinity is survival, I guess, like the 100% masculine energy is survival, but none of us have 100% masculine energy.
Yeah,
we're all
exactly.
You know, so but if that's what masculinity is, then masculinity is naturally drawn towards the more personable side because that's what it lacks. It seeks balance, and that's what you're saying.
Yes, it seeks that softness, that light. But when I share this, it's like then some women might hear, so I'm supposed to be a ditz, I'm supposed to be no. The thing is this, it's this. If you have a man who likes to operate in that and that's how he feels good, if you show up in that thinking mode, that is why the conversations turn into maybe a debate. That's why you might fight over finances. It is because it's a, say, more linear in the head type of conversation. In that conversation, that the way there's a balance, it might be him saying how he thinks and how you feel, or you saying how you think and how he feels. It's where there has to be giving and receiving.
Right.
Like my girlfriend, okay? She's very sweet, very smart, and she'll get in my face. And if something bothers her, but our sexual attraction is off the charts. Off the charts.
Well, that's because she knows what she wants and you know what you want and you both are open and comfortable with it.
Yes. But I'm trying to say is that I'll go back to this also. I have a best friend who I've known for 10 years who I originally dated. We don't have sex, but if we wanted to move into that department, the sexual energy would be there because we too also honor that space. We have a nice dance. She can retire. She is a multimillionaire. She has it together. She makes more money than I do. And yet we can have that dance. I have a son who is going to be 4 in July, and it was one of those one night stands. And my son ended up, he was 6 months old.
You're going deep here.
Yeah, my son was 6 months old when she text messaged me that I had a son. I went through the paternity test, whatever. But wow. the name on his birth certificate was another man's. Wow. Imagine the ego booster in there, dude.
Wow.
And so, dude, it was a 2-year process of getting that change. And I got the new birth certificate. Okay, I'm getting a little emotional.
Wow, man, that says a lot about you would want that response, that you would chase that responsibility. That says a lot about your character.
And it was I'm a full-time dad too. Yeah. It's been a 2-year process, and I got the certificate 2 days ago. And it's not about just have my name there. It's that open up his bank account. There's other things to change his social security, the name on social security, because we just changed the middle and last name. And the mother and I, but I got that. And the thing is that I called Amy and I was crying like a child. She says, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I said, "Nothing's wrong. I got
the
birth certificate."
Mom?
Amy's the friend. Oh, okay. The friend I mentioned who can move into masculine and feminine.
Okay.
And I started crying. I said, "I got the birth certificate." She said, "Oh my God. Oh my God. That's beautiful." And she was holding space for me. She was in the, what we might call masculine. I was in the feminine. I was feeling. And men need to be able to feel us in a healthy way to understand that, so it doesn't become pent up rage and anger. And men, women who are moving into their masculine, the problem I see in that, they are holding up to that pent up anger and rage and whatever. It's not healthy. Both men and women need to be able to experience the feminine in that emotional space. And they also need to be able to move in that space of creating for themselves, building for themselves, and moving into the masculine. So yeah, so here what I'm trying to say is that both of us can move into that space. Mm-hmm. But you have to learn. You have to understand it. Mm-hmm. And the mother of my child has never moved into that masculine space. She's never really had a career. She is struggling. And she's falling apart. She's having troubles. And it's why I have our son full time. And she sees him part time because I'm healthier. She's not making money. And so here's a woman who kind of, I would say she kind of could appear to our culture as being maybe weak or too feminine or a victim. She might be looked at as a victim or whatever. Feeling sorry for herself. I don't see her that way. I always try to empower her, but she would say, yeah, I never exercise that part of myself. And she basically went back to school. She's trying to get her license to cut hair and she's having troubles. It's a part of her life she's never exercised. So when women don't exercise that, that might be the byproduct of that, where she can't find herself. When a man is just constantly an artist and he is not exercising that masculine part of himself to where he can provide for himself, he could be a hunter, he might be over emotional. He can't take care of a family. Mm-hmm. It's where I'm trying to say is that both men and women, we need to be able to exercise both our feminine and masculine attributes. And it's beautiful. And it connects to our biology, our left and right brain, and everything else.
Is it fair to say that testosterone is exclusively responsible for anger and things like all the survival skills, and that estrogen does not promote any of that stuff?
That's actually a myth.
That's a myth. So there is survival instincts in estrogen.
I was gonna say testosterone is not necessarily responsible for aggression. In fact, I would say this. That I've had men who go into rage and who are hitting a certain age, and I have them take more testosterone and actually balances them out. If anything, they become, when a man goes to anger and rage, that's not being masculine. That's actually being feminine.
Wait, wow. But that actually sounds contrary to what you said earlier.
No. Emotions are feminine. So when I went to sadness tears of joy and all that, that was me moving into my feminine. When I go into anger, that's me moving to my feminine. Hmm.
But isn't anger a survival instinct?
It could be, but remember that typically for men, anger is typically it's a byproduct of feeling hopeless and sad and whatever else it is. And it's very much what a lot of the women in the Me Too movement might be experiencing. By the way, you said what part sounds contradictory to you? Because I want to make sure this is clear.
I'm just saying that it seems like earlier you were saying that men who are dominating women and stuff like that are too, and maybe I misunderstood, but I was thinking that those men were operating too much in the masculine.
Oh, actually, thank you so much. Thank you for saying so. I would say men who are dominating women are out of touch with their femininity. And the way that it shows up in pathological way is through violence, rape, control, and so forth. And so I shared in the last show that a man's relationship with his own femininity, meaning his own emotions, is going to be the same relationship that he has with his woman and women at large. So a man who's able to enjoy music and be able to connect to life and nature and feel love and express his feelings in a feminine way and a healthy way will also be able to understand his woman's feelings and emotions in a healthy way. A man who's able to connect his masculinity, which might be where he's able to take charge, make exact decisions, come from confidence, have some structure, is going to be able to organize his life, and also when he communicates with his woman, give a perspective that's coherent and has some, I guess you say, direction where she might trust and feel is good also.
So is the male, when men dominate women, when you see men do this, is this...
They're inferior.
Well, obviously.
In fear and ignorance.
Yeah, those people have problems they got to work out, absolutely. But are they operating too much in the masculine?
They are operating I couldn't put one or the other. I don't know. I can't answer that because I don't know. Because I don't typically work with those type of men. In fact, I've never worked with what you might call a misogynist. Men who call me actually are feeling something and they want to better themselves. So they're typically awesome guys. So, but from what I've worked with, because I once went to this workshop up north, it's my opinion. Can I say the name here? It's okay.
I don't mind. We can always. I don't know what you're about to say.
Oh, it was a workshop. The guy's name is Justin Sterling.
Okay, who is this guy?
He does this workshop in Oakland. And I was recommended by this man who recommended another workshop. It actually was good. I went, okay, this could be a good one. I said, I want to go to a workshop where I'm around a bunch of men. And it seems it's not this airy-fairy type of, and nothing against that, but like a lot of the men who I've seen who are holding space for men, I wouldn't say necessarily are like, I feel the best role models. Like it's men who are struggling with their masculinity. And so I guess I wanted to like, be around men who I felt were healthy. You know, I felt, at least I could say, yeah, this is a pretty healthy masculine man. I went to this workshop and I was in a room with a bunch of guys who are misogynists. We're talking about extreme. And the workshop was about teaching men how to detach themselves from emotions. It was about trying to get men to stop being feminine. It was actually trying to go backwards, almost to like the old school way of thinking and being.
You're saying these men are healthy?
No, I left. It was a 3-day workshop.
Oh,
I left.
Okay.
I left 8 hours into it. If anything, I stayed there longer for more research for myself to see my tolerance level, to understand how these men felt. In the overarching experience I had with these men, they felt inferior with women. They felt that their emotions were being triggered by women and they were holding women responsible for their reactions.
Maybe these guys have mommy issues.
Probably. That these men basically felt like victims, like society was against them. They felt marginalized.
Wow.
They were not owning their own experiences. And what I was noticing from the women they might have been with, their women basically were still in a way feminine, and they're hoping their men can hold space for them, but they were basically running the relationship. They were the ones who were able to be more feminine and also more masculine and keep it together. The men were not. Hmm. Yes. That's why I said I've seen more women step up and become more balanced than men, these, like, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
It is why all my female coaches, female friend coaches who are coaches, are saying, Ray, you need to support men. Men need us more than any other gender right now. Wow. And that's where my practice has moved into, where I'm really trying to focus with working with men.
Wow.
So they can hold space for women to be women, and they can also get out there and hunt.
Yeah, not so much maybe that the men, it's probably equal parts that some men need help figuring out what to do with their energy, but also some men need to understand how women operate better too, so that we can all harmonize better. You know, I am so hopeful to see a time, I hope we get to see a time where men and women are just cool with each other, and like all people are just cool with each other, and that race and sex doesn't like play any role at all in how we perceive people before we actually get to know them. I hope we get to this place, because I think it's like the only shot that we have of a peaceful, harmonious civilization.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. I'm in agreement with that.
So what do we do?
Well, this conversation, I'm doing it. I mean, I'm going into work with the men to help them better in their families. Mm-hmm. My business model has moved, you know, towards the direction of men who are in stressed relationships with their wives and partners. And most of it, it's them not understanding themselves. It's not understanding their emotions and being able to make healthy, exact decisions that has a holistic approach that is co-creating with her. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been very male dominated. So that is what is bumping up against a lot of these women. You know, in fact, a lot of the troubles that I had originally with my girlfriend was because I sometimes would speak the language as if my word was the word. Like, I was clueless in that.
And now you're woke.
Oh, yes. And this is me doing this for a while. Like, I attracted a very evolved woman, and where she would say, like, well, where am I in that? I went, thank you for telling me how you feel.
Yeah.
Because I would accidentally, because I'm also a lot older than her, and that I have this perception that I might know things better at times, but that's all BS. It's like, where is she in a process?
And she'll know things better at times too. It doesn't make anybody better than anybody.
She knows a lot of stuff that she's waking me up to things. And I would not be open to that if I would not be practicing what I preach.
I love that you described your friend as being highly evolved. That's actually my favorite compliment to pay my wife. I tell her that all the time, that she's highly evolved, and I think it's sexy.
Yes.
Because she totally is.
Yeah, all my female friends, I have more female friends than male friends, are highly evolved. They're women who could be very expressive. I would say most of them either have a bachelor's and a master's. All of them make their own money. And we can have conversations just like this. And, you know, I have my one friend, my really good friend, Mina, who... She has a business, and she even, you know, she has a VA that does most of her work. Like she trained a VA, you know, gets, you know, I don't know what she pays this VA, but virtual assistant. So she can go to twerking classes. So she can go, she actually went to 2-month chef class.
You say twerking classes?
Twerking, yes. Pretty funny, yeah.
She hired a virtual assistant so she could take twerking?
No, we didn't that. Like, she only works maybe 15 hours a week, and then the rest goes to a VA. So she went to a chef school because she loves to cook for 2 months. She loves to experience life. She is experiencing life that her beingness is so feminine. She dresses really gorgeous, and yet she has this very wonderful business, or you might call it mastermind, where her business, her mastermind, allows her to experience her own freedom and her own femininity. She is extremely well balanced.
Her energy is balanced.
Yes. And I just describe how I hope all people can be, because as a man, also me too, I work a lot. Not in, and I can get caught up into that. I get massages. I ride my skateboard around town. I play with my son. There's a lot of things that I know other men don't experience. I love to pamper myself. And some guys, I've shared this with some guys, they look at me like, what, you know, you're a, you know, FAG.
You've lost all credibility in their minds.
Yeah. And I'm like, you've got to be joking. This is why I'm not pent up and look rigid and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving you another example. My friend Bob, who's a good looking guy, looks like George Clooney. And he would have some of his male friends like going, what do you do with all those great hot looking women in yoga? And he told me, he says, when I first started doing yoga 10 years ago, he says, I wasn't flexible. And he says, I was a guy in there who was going, oh my God, I'm distracted. There's so many beautiful women in here. And he said, in time, when I started doing this, I became one. I didn't become a woman, but I became one with the space in there where I could be really good friends with them and accept their bodies as like my body. And I didn't feel the difference and so forth. And it felt good to be that way, to not be polarized. And yet, because of that, my ability to attract women like went off the charts, because women felt they could trust me. I wasn't the horny guy who was thinking only one thing.
Because he developed self-control.
It wasn't even self-control. It's oneness. It's beyond that. Mm-hmm. I have models. I have people who've been on Playboy see me in my private practice. And it's not like I'm going, oh my God, how did I contain myself? Because I see them as a person, a whole person, as a spiritual being with a heart, with organs, with cells, with beauty, with life, everything.
Yeah, well, that's all I mean by self-control. Not that you've got to like literally control all your impulses at any given moment, but that like you've got to, you know, if you're one of these guys who's like just harassing women all the time and, you know, like these serial misogynists, you know, that's the thing that they lack is the self-awareness, you know, and the oneness, as you put it, and the self-control to be able to harmonize with women, to go to a yoga class where there's beautiful women and say, I'm not here to procreate. I'm here to stretch, you know.
Stretch myself and stretch my mind. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So just imagine that there's a man and woman together, okay? They are attracted, love each other, having great sex, and there happens to be an attractive woman that walks by. A woman will feel in her body what her man will feel more than he realizes at times. And men are afraid to admit that, because that woman also might have fear that he's going to cheat or that this other woman is more attractive or something. It goes into something very personal that's not really healthy. Just imagine that it's like he's wired this way. And a lot of women who listen to this will go, that's just an excuse for a man to look at a woman. It's like you don't know what it's like to be in a man's body. And I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's equivalent to this. Whenever I share this with most women, I go, I want you to imagine a beautiful puppy. A beautiful puppy. Just think of a beautiful puppy running, being cute, jumping on your lap. Or I want you to imagine a beautiful child, like that beautiful age, 3-4 years old, just curious about life and want to play with you and so forth, whatever. Now, I want you to be detached. I want you to not have happy feelings about that. Most women, from my experience, don't. They're like, I can't. That just calls my heart. That feels, I feel love or joy. And you, I guess, I might feel like you're comparing apples and oranges, because because in our culture, we come to accept that fuzzy feeling for a woman is acceptable because it's not cheating. Whereas with a man, if he's polarized by a woman or something, that it is, because it leads to cheating or whatever else, rape, whatever. So, but we both, men and women, because of our brain, our biology, are polarized by different things. Mm. And what's so healthy is when a woman comes to understand that, and he knows that there's that open space for him to communicate that, he's able to say, yes, I had some type of attraction and I felt that my body, and her be able to say, oh, what was that like? And she says, oh, it's just that. They smile, they let it go, they're done.
Yeah.
There's no pent up energy in his body, and he ends up going to the internet and beating off the porn. It's where it's like she's not threatened. She gets this really healthy place. And he does too, where there's a healthy conversation about the energy if it comes up.
Yeah. Likewise with your dog analogy, when a dog comes up and humps your leg, you don't call the dog a misogynist. You get a little annoyed and you say, oh, this dog thinks I want to have sex with it. It thinks we can have sex. You know, it's part of sexual desire is in everybody, not just men. It's an evolutionary impulse. It's procreation. It's survival. It's I need to let my genes survive. I need to find a partner to make sure that my genes survive another generation. That's all it is. It shouldn't be so weird, you know. But I think the problem is that it has become weird because men for too long have protected other men who are taking advantage of women. And in a male-dominated society, it has been accepted by men to treat women this way. And so women feel unsafe with this sexual activity almost entirely now. But what has to happen is men can not stick up for other men that are taking advantage of women. Guys, if you know another guy who is taking advantage of a woman, or, you know, and it's probably not going to be so much of an issue now that the Me Too movement is here and the women are feeling more safe coming out and speaking out against this, but guys cannot protect other guys who are taking advantage of women or anybody. This is beyond just sex. I think if anybody's taking advantage of someone, you shouldn't protect anybody who's taking advantage of anybody, regardless of sex or color.
Absolutely. The thing that you said about the dog hump and whatever, kind of we are designed differently. And so, for example, when a woman makes love to a man or is just bonding with him, oxytocin is released and she will bond him very similarly to like to a child. Not sure how this had come to be. So when she has sex with a man, that can last in her body up to like 3 weeks, to where it's why women, you just don't hook up. It's hard. It's not because it's just a thought. It is like not part of your biology. It's also why men, it only lasts up to maybe 72 hours while they're ready to go right away, or they miss you right away. A lot of times when men miss that connection with a woman, what has left their body is the oxytocin. It's so strange. And so like if women and men, like really do the research, really. In fact, the book I would highly recommend, there are really two good books to read. And one is called The Female Brain, and a doctor is Luann. I'm going to spell the last name. It's BRIZENDINE. It'll come up. The name will come up. She's an MD, The Female Brain. And then because that book did so well, she wrote another book called The Male Brain.
Huh. I'm going to read these.
Yeah. And so she kind of takes it apart about like different tendencies and why things might be the way they are.
Opinions are opinions, but I think that everyone would agree that a society where we're all coexisting and harmonizing our energy is more desirable than the alternative.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we have to be careful with our opinions. We have to communicate them in a way that's not fueled by resentment or anger or domination or any kind of ill intent. You know, you have to think about how your actions are going to make somebody else feel. You know,
Yes. We're
all in this together. We're all human. Yes. We all want the same things at the end of the day. That may vary by some really small degree person to person, but like as a whole, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, what sex you are, what race you are, I think everybody wants empathy. Everybody wants companionship. Everybody wants purpose. Everybody wants to be respected. Everybody wants to be able to chase their desires and to, you know, make sense of life.
I'm on board with that.
What do you guys think about this conversation? I want to hear your thoughts, where you think the problem areas are, where you think the good is happening. Leave a comment in the comments section if you're watching on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. That way your phone will always stay up to date. I'm Julian Smith. This has been Spellbound. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am, and I'll see you guys next Monday.